We come now to the reading and the preaching of the Word, and today, this afternoon, I'd like to direct your attention to a subject that is really quite similar to the one that we considered this morning as we talked about the matter of being a thankful people. During the past few weeks, a theme that has been brought to my attention is that of being conformed to Christ. The need that we have for that. Now, that's certainly a biblical statement, and yet it sometimes is one that just passes over us. How does that affect us now? Well, one way that it affects us is that we live here yearning often in life for justice. Things happen that are not good. And because of those things that happen that are not good, we suffer. Perhaps our standard of living has to be lowered for a time. Perhaps someone has dealt improperly with us and he deserves to receive the vengeance of God. And so we often yearn for justice. But sinner, do you really want that? Do you, knowing that you are a sinner, really want absolute justice for yourself? Because you see, as we come before God as sinners, we recognize that absolute justice means that we should be destroyed forever. So, no, we don't want that. But we still want it with our dealings with one another. The person down the street steals from us. Someone from the company, the utility company, gives us the wrong bill, demands more of us than we owe. We get damaged property. Well, who's responsible for the damage to that property? You see, we don't receive what we deserve. Instead, we get grace. And that ought to encourage us greatly and strengthen us in living thankful lives. There is this statement then in the Scriptures, this notion that we are to be conformed to Christ. We find it more than once in the Scriptures, but I would direct your attention today to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin with a very familiar statement, a statement that we all love, that means a great deal to us, because in it, we recognize the sovereignty of God in all His dealings with us. Romans 8, 28, we'll read on through the end of the chapter as we are reminded of the love of Christ for us. By the way, just in this notion of seeking for justice, I was particularly impressed with something that I heard this past week. Richard brought me a recording of his brother-in-law's memorial service. And the daughter of the deceased made a statement there where she said her father had taught her that there are more references, more commands in the Bible to be loving than to be right. Think about that. There's more commands in the Bible to be loving than to be right. Now, certainly God is a God of justice, and He will bring about justice. But it's our duty to love. The greatest command is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. And the second like it You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment is not, you shall demand to be right all the time. You shall demand that everybody deal justly with you. But rather, you shall love. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. There's that statement. Those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Or hardship? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or danger? Or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? May God bless to us the reading of this portion of His Word. Those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. If you are in Jesus Christ, if indeed He has called you to Himself, He has predestined you to be conformed to Christ. This is God's intention for you, to be conformed to Christ. Do you think about that as you go throughout the day? Am I really conforming to Christ? We find this notion in a number of different places that we are to be conformed to Christ. We are joined to Christ. We listen to Him. He is our teacher. And so in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus talks to us about the fact that He is our teacher and we are to be like our teacher. Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. It is enough for a student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. And he goes on to speak of those who follow the devil. But of course, there is the duty that we have to be following Christ. And then also in Luke chapter 23, or 22 rather. Luke chapter 22. Jesus says to his disciples, you are not to be like that, like those who lording it over others. You are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest of you shall be like the youngest and the one who rules
like the one who serves. We are to be conformed to Christ. And how did Christ act? Well, he was a servant. Remember, he washed the feet of his disciples. He was a servant. And that's what he calls us to be. And so the apostles continue in that same vein, calling us to be conformed to Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, this was Paul's desire. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Did Paul think that he could earn the resurrection of the dead? No, not at all. But he knew the responsibility that he had to be conformed to Christ. And that included suffering with him, to be conformed with him even in his death. So also John in 1 John chapter 3 says, Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Here's the teaching of Christ and the desire of the apostles for us. Now, we need to be careful. How is it that we need to be like Christ? Because, you see, our first parents sought likeness with God in the wrong way. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent, in speaking to Eve, says, God knows that when you eat of it, this tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The difference, of course, is that there is the desire to be in the place of God, to have His authority. But when we speak of being like Christ and being conformed to Christ, we are coming to join with Him in His suffering so that we may be holy. God says, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. There's the likeness that we are to seek. Not to take the authority in the place of God, but rather to join Him, bearing the image of God as we were intended to bear it from the very beginning. Now, the statement once again in Romans 8 is this. Those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. God's predestination is something that should motivate you to be conformed to Christ. Now, many people look at predestination as being the same thing as fatalism, so that they sit back and sing, Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. That is not predestination. That's fatalism. That's just saying, I can't do anything, and I will let whatever happens, happen. I'll be the couch potato. You know what it is that God has determined to work in you. It is that you should be conformed to Christ. Not that you should sit back and say, okay, if I'm going to be conformed to Christ, it's going to happen. But rather to say, I am to be conformed to Christ, and He has willed it for me. Therefore, I will seek it. He brings it about by the grace that He works in you. As He brings you to understand what it means to be holy. As He brings you to understand His law, His will, His desire for you. The confidence that we have in this is that we will be successful because He predestined that you should be conformed to the likeness of His Son. And so you enter into it with encouragement. You don't come to this duty of being conformed to Christ and the responsibility of being conformed to Christ saying, "Well, this is where I am and there's where I'm supposed to be. How can I ever get there?" You say, "God's already determined to bring me there. Therefore, I will start out on this journey. I will enter into it with courage. Just as He said to Abraham, 'I will give you this land,' and Joshua knew that. But God said to Joshua, 'Be courageous. Go and take the land. I've already said I'm giving it to you, so go get it.' Why should you and I not enter into this desire to be conformed to Christ, this responsibility to be conformed to Christ, with great courage and joy? As we do so, we are confident also then in Christ's sovereign rule over all of life. Certainly, all selfishness is contrary to conforming to Christ. We already talked about that this morning in regard to being a thankful people. But we have trials in life, don't we? I know some of the things that some of you go through. Not that I've experienced the same things, but I don't have to. You tell me about what you're going through. You let me know about those issues. And it's not so that we can have a pity party together, but rather so that we can come before God knowing that He has predestined that we should be conformed to the image of His Son, even through the trials that we face. The trials of life are for then our good. We must learn from them. Complaint, self-pity has no place in being conformed to Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and you're probably getting the idea. I could have preached both sermons today from the book of Philippians because we've been turning to this book so many times. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." And that's to be true of church members with one another. That's to be true of brothers and sisters in the same family. That's to be true of us with our co-workers. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." You do shine like stars in the universe when you express the cheerfulness and joy of being in Christ rather than complaining. There were times in going into the ambulance service where I would greet the secretary cheerfully. "How are you today?" "Oh, what's so good about it? Why do you have to be so happy?" We shine like stars in the universe when we bear the joy that there is in Christ. This selfishness is contrary to conforming to Christ. The trials of life are for our good, and complaint and self-pity have no place in this. And there is a way to endure, as the Apostle Paul has told us in writing to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." And it is our duty then to seek that way that He has provided for us that we may endure. And as you think about that, if you think that there isn't any way that you can endure, consider what Christ endured. As we are reminded by the writer of Hebrews, He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He gave up the glories of heaven in order to endure life with sinners. He was mocked, and His life was daily in danger. He was crucified. And worst of all, because He was bearing our sins, the Father's favor and face were turned away from Him. And He endured it so that you and I may be conformed to Him. Be confident then in His sovereign rule over all of life, over all your life, that the things about which you complain are not surprises to Him. He has given Satan permission, perhaps, to bring them about. Don't complain. Conform to Christ. Be conformed to Christ by being with Him. Be transformed in your thinking. Another place where it talks about being conformed to Christ, it doesn't use that expression exactly, but the implication is there in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the implication is so that you will be conformed to Christ instead of to the world, so that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Transform your thinking. Transform your thinking. I heard a week or two ago a coach, football coach, talking to his players down in one of the southern states in the midst of all this heat that they're having, we have in the summer, and you can imagine what it must be like down in some of those southern states with the humidity and what it's like to run around in full pads for football practice. And he said, I see some of you dragging. That's because you think you're hot. If you realize that you can do these things, you will do them. It's a state of mind. Transform your thinking. And I have to say, he's right. I've even seen it in my own life. To have my thinking transformed to a new way. It's easy to be entrapped in the world's way of thinking. But consider how the knowledge of God changes your thinking. We spoke this morning about matters of worry and fear, the ways that the world likes to think. But when we're conformed to Christ, then there's a new way to look at things. Another thing that we see in our society, another way of the world's thinking is, if anything goes wrong, sue. We live in a litigious society. Some of you may have seen something that Pastor Rosenberger put out about something that went wrong in his wife's surgery, in Trudy's surgery. And people suggested to him that he should sue. He said, I'm not going to do that. The doctor was operating in good faith. Why should I sue? That's the way of the world. And he's right. We don't need to be so litigious. But we need to be satisfied with the sovereign power and glory of God, because He is the absolute sovereign. And so we're able to be rid of worry, to be rid of pessimism, knowing that we serve the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Transform your thinking, and transform your thinking to delight in the law of God. Recognize the perfection of the law of God. Confess the love of Christ as He fulfilled the law of God for you. And come to see what it is that God has provided for you in His wonderful grace. Being conformed to Christ is something that is necessary. If it weren't necessary, why would God predestine us to be conformed to the image of His Son? It is necessary. You need Christ. You need His holiness. You don't have to have justice right now. You don't have to have everything go your way. But as love covers a multitude of sins, so it is that the love of Jesus Christ covers us and enables us to love one another, even those who have done evil to us. For remember, God not only said, "You shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbor, but you shall love your enemy." There's nobody left out. You are called to love every one of us. And the more you are with Christ, the more you will come to resemble Him. Is that your desire? Do you desire to be conformed to Christ? I pray that it is. And if it hasn't been, that it will be from now on. That you would long to be conformed to Christ, and that you would labor to be conformed to Christ, to be like Him, to draw nearer to Him. The psalmist says, "I'll be satisfied to awake with your likeness." Turn with me to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. He speaks of the foe that is against him. Maybe it's the one who has done him dirt, the one who has dealt unjustly with him. "But now, as for me, in righteousness, your face will I'll surely see, and with your likeness, when I wake, I satisfied will be."